Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 106 of the Blind Bargains Cast. That guy over there is Jason. I am Joe. And this is going to be a very interesting show because it looks like all the news has run out. All the good news has totally run out before convention. So I'm not sure what's going to happen on the show. It's going to be very interesting. I promise that it'll be entertaining, if not informative. How's that?
At least
something
we
should strive for.
I know some things. I don't know how they're going to appear, but...
Sure.
We've been talking for a little while about this new thing that has Ricky in it, inside
of it. That's true. That is true. Well,
in fact, you might hear a prompt like this.
Charging.
Well, we're going to tell you what this is. It is... perhaps a new thing that you might want to be interested in, a new voice recorder. And we will tell you about it a little bit later in this show. And yes, it will be available at the conventions this summer. By the way, we have our booth numbers for AT Guys. 43.
Okay. Right.
43 in Reno.
Right.
So Meaning of Life plus one.
Right.
And we're next to Speed Dodge, which is awesome. An A19 at NFB, which is along the left wall. Against the wall, you know, down that aisle on the left side. So there you go. You can also go to atguys.com right now. You can use coupon codes NFB17 or ACB17 and do pre-order for pickup. It saves you a whole bunch of time. If you're one of those people that's always running around convention, you never have enough time to do everything in the exhibit hall, do the pre-order. You can just come by and we'll have things ready for you. That's only for people who are actually going to pick it up in the exhibit hall, but it's right there for you, and go ahead and use it.
And that makes it so much easier to walk in, get your stuff, have it all ready to go, play around with it in the meetings and division meetings, make a bunch of noise with whatever things you bought and show others, and then tell them to come by the booth and buy stuff too. That is the bestest way to get things done and accomplished. And another way you could actually do some of that is to take notes on, say, a note taker. I got a good idea. You could certainly do that with a Humanware note taker.
The Braille Note Touch, of course, that's been out for a little while now, and Humanware is sponsoring us this week. The Braille Note Touch, the future is so close, you can touch it. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later on. www.humanware.com, and of course, they have booths and sessions going on at both conventions as well. So you can check them out in the convention agendas. Both of them are out now, so you can look through and make all your schedules and plans and try to figure out the 8 things that you want to do that are all at the same time.
Absolutely. I like that someone actually had to get an iCalendar version of the schedule so that way they could see just how many things there were.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's really, really helpful. By the way, if you're going to be in Reno, we have events on Sunday evening. First, an AT Guys product showcase where you can come by and do a hands-on in a little less formal setting, kind of just as their things are passed around the room. And then the game show night. Joe's been wanting this for a long time. So
we may be able to pull it off. First attempt.
We'll see what happens.
This may be a like this show. This might be informative and or entertaining, or just entertaining in the greatest hashtag fail you could ever see.
Right. We will give away things, whether it gets, whether it actually gets recorded or much else happens. But our goal is to at least try to give away stuff.
Or maybe we can Periscope it or Facebook Live it or do something incredibly embarrassing that people can hold over our heads for a very long time. There are all sorts of things that are still coming towards convention. We're looking forward to seeing you at either event. Looks like Miss Chansey Fleet is going to do some recordings in the NFB. All right, cool. So that's what you have to look forward to. So you won't hear me droning on and on and on and on. Well, more than usual. How's that? And then looks like we have some good stuff coming as far as what's going to happen afterwards. So if you're not familiar with how we do booth convention, we usually do the convention stuff, and then we air that for the next couple of weeks, and then we do a wrap-up show, and then we're kind of sort of back to normal shows before we start walking into the major Apple, Microsoft, and Google keynotes that are pretty much eat up September and October, which works out really well for us.
Yeah, definitely keep checking those feeds because there will be new stuff, probably depending on how much we have, between 2 and 4 or 5 new ones posted every day. As long as we have them. So there'll be lots of different things that you can kind of browse through and hear all the different new things and updates that are happening at both these shows. And we'll do our best to cover as much as we can. We're not going to interview the same people at both shows. So we'll do some of them in Reno and we'll do some of them in Orlando. And we'll do our best to kind of get a good scope of what's going on at both.
New things is what's happening for some people in the industry. We've talked a little bit about people making changes before. Seems that some other people are making changes. What a crazy year this has been so far.
Do you have your Microsoft job yet?
I do not, but I am extremely happy for Mr. Bishop. That is, we talked about last week. That was really cool. But another person who we're way familiar with seems to have landed a gig over in the Microsoft campus. And congratulations to a Mr. Matt Campbell. I am so thrilled for you, man. That is so awesome.
That is so cool. Matt, of course, worked a lot on the System Access stuff for many, many years. And very smart.
ACB, ACB
radio. Yeah, one of the smartest programmers and minds out there, and really cool. This will be a great move for him coming into the Seattle area. And there's lots of stuff happening with Microsoft, as we see posts from their Twitter every other day or so. There's always something new coming up as far as accessibility. Just saw some improvements in Visual Studio Code a couple days ago,
right?
Helping it work better with NVDA. See, so you know, which is really cool to see.
There's also this NVDA book for Excel 2016. This is one of those that is in a series of books that NV Access has been highlighting about how to use their product with Office 2016, which is probably something those of you who are going to take those NV Access courses and take those certifications, you might want to read this book. I'm just going to say maybe that's a good idea.
They already had one for Word. This one's for Excel, $30 Australian, which is about 22 in US dollars as of the now, and several different formats. You can just get it in HTML, you can get it in EPUB, you can get it in Kindle and read it on your Echo if you wanted to. So lots of different formats out there. That's a very reasonable price for training materials. I mean, and they do a really good job on those. Quentin Christensen is Christensen. It's a nice big long name.
Right.
Yeah. Really cool guy. We met him all and hung out with all them in San Diego. They filled up our suite, but he's the one that's head and working on all the training materials and the certification and all that type of stuff. So lots of cool stuff there. And you can look at some of the you can start with the basic training, which they recommend you do, and then after you do the basic training, then you can move on from there.
You know, you talking about moving on, Mr. Doug Geoffrey seems to be leaving VFO and moving on to other objects and things to work with. And he followed Dan, who left the year before. You might know as the G and the W from GW Micro.
GW Micro. Now, I don't want to speak for him, but Dan said he was retiring. I think Doug might still, I'm not sure if he's ready to hang it up yet. I looked at his LinkedIn.
Too many ones and zeros in that man's mind.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, once you get into it, he started going to college at University of Indiana, Fort Wayne in 81, right? Graduated in 86.
Right.
But he started working for Computer Age in 82. So he pretty much made that his college job. And then, well, he was with it for many, many years. Of course, worked on Vocalize and WindowEyes for many years, came with them to AI Squared. And then last year was doing more enterprise stuff for VFO, which it's a job. But, you know, again, screen readers is what he loved to do, and you could certainly tell it. And hopefully if he wants to do something else, he'll find something. And maybe we'll see him running around CSUN next year with some brand new thing, kind of like we saw Dean Blasey a few years ago. I remember the one year that Ted Henter showed up with this math product just randomly. Right.
Yep.
Which is really weird. When he was at a table by himself. Like, it was so weird to see. But
that's like when I tell people that the first time I met Jim Fruchterman was he was working his own booth for Ark and Stone years ago, and it's just very, very, very trippy. Dave Wilkinson had been at three other companies before then, so it was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Zoom Text also saw another update, by the way. Zoom Text 10.1 saw an update that allows it to use Zoom Text Fusion screen reader. You can use the key numbers, so long digits like 8601 and all those. You can actually use those numbers now with Fusion to activate Zoom Text 10, because you can actually do kind of an upgrade from Zoom Text 10 into Fusion, but downgrading was a little weird. You could also use Zoom Text to go to an older version. So in a lot of cases, like with JAWS, you can actually have version 18 as a serial number, but for many a reason, you might need to go back to version 15 for compatibility reasons. So a little bit of parity happening there. So you could actually, for some reasons, use a Zoom Text 11 number or Fusion number and go backwards to 10 because there might be something for compatibility that you might need. So nice to see that there is at least that kind of familiarity with product. So if you're in the VFO family and you know how one product works It seems like ZoomText is coming along in those ideals in order to make sure that it works in the way that you might expect it to.
And lots of free updates, which I think is always, it's cool. I mean, you know, they're only obligated to do so much for free, but I mean, it's always good to see, you know, pretty much when you pay for this stuff, and I wouldn't be surprised if ZoomText ends up on the Jaws schedule of things.
I would imagine it would take a little bit of time for parity, but they never really achieved that with Jaws of Magic.
They didn't. You know, no, Magic just kind of came out on its own terms. So
it's always rubber banded. So
maybe, it, yeah. You know, well, do you find with magnification, are there less things to update? Like, is annual too much for magnification, or are they just going to try to force it anyway? Because
there's things like Adobe PDF, which you're always having to do stuff for screen corruption, or you're having to do things for security software, because there's a whitelist for security for assistive technology. So there's some things that you have to do in order to make sure that's working. Not that PDF is as important as it was, say, 5 years ago, but it still is one of those things that you would use. Codecs for video and the like on the web couldn't become corrupted. Windows Media Player was a classic one that actually used to screen tear all the time, and real media back in the day. But nowadays, a lot of that stuff kind of sort of just quote unquote works. But for security and the like there were the creators update, you know, that kind of really rocked a lot of products. And so that's why you saw a lot of products coming out with updates for creator just recently within the last 2 months, because a lot of older legacy products got kind of nicked. So there are times where that's kind of needed. And for those people who are not ready to pay to go to version 11, or for those people who are very specifically, well, let's just break it down. There's a lot of things within ZoomText that may not be intuitive, but have been the same way they've been since like version 7 or 8. So version 11 has a lot of different things within it, behaviors, hotkeys, and the like. And for some people who are maybe cognitively challenged, like yours truly, who's been using the product for a long time, it's harder to move to 11 because there's a lot of things that are changed. And so I'm glad to see that there are updates for version 10 and 10.1, because those are still the dominant platform numbers out there, and probably still will be for some time. Because ZoomText, also the other thing is that it didn't update every year, like you're saying. It was like every 2 years. Or if they did a major update, then they did a minor update. So as ZoomText goes forward, and as Freedom Scientific has said, they will be doing annual updates. So it will fall along the lines of the Jaws schedule, and that there will be an update each year. But a lot of ZoomText users never even knew that was a thing, because they weren't familiar with Freedom Scientific. They were low vision users who didn't need that much speech. So it is new behavior for them. So it's good that this update is happening until people can get familiar with the way that VFO is going to do things moving forward.
Update ZoomText. These are words. You love that segue. These are words. And of course, words are something that you could find in a word search. Hey, Blindfold Games, which does all sorts of accessible games, everything from Blindfold Home Run Derby, which came out a couple weeks ago, to Blindfold Spin and Saw, which has some certain semblance and resemblance to perhaps a television game show with a slightly different name, but they didn't want to copy them exactly. Yes, Blindfold Word Search is the latest one. No, there is no word search puzzle in there that you can find the word ZoomText or Jaws. But there are other theme packs and things that you can do. And, you know, word searches is one of those things that sometimes they're hard to translate from visual to non-visual. So they have different levels, which I think is pretty creative. The very basic level just has words hidden from left to right. And as you go up to the more advanced ones, and you can have it where it's up and down or diagonal or things like that. So some different difficulty levels as you kind of get used to how well you manage a word search on your iPhone. But they always do a pretty good job of being creative with things.
Done things like a crossword puzzle or Sudoku or things like that?
Oh, yeah. I love them in Braille. I love that stuff in Braille written. If I do a word search, I want it written out in Braille.
Sure.
Because it's for me, it's the easiest way to see that type of stuff. You know, you ever seen, I never bought one. You ever seen those big Sudoku boards that they used to sell? I think Perkins sold them. And they're cool. Yep. I would always play with one in convention for about 10 minutes and try to see how much I could solve. But
yeah, that is so crazy. Ricky loves MUDs, and MUDs would be your kind of video gamey going out and killing things.
Does Ricky have a Mac?
Ricky has a Mac. I have a Mac. She has MacBook. So we have several Macs. So this would work out really well from iAccessibility, who just released this product called Mudability, or hashtag Mudability is what it is on Twitter at the moment. So you have the ability to go ahead and play these games online now. Also, I had forgotten about this. This hadn't been in our show in a while, but Spotify. They have a Spotify for the Mac too. So if you like Spotify and you need an accessible,
so you can listen to your music while you're playing, while you're beating up on the... Helmu or whatever Mud you guys are playing these days. Mud clients are one of those things that kind of make them a little more usable. Muds, just to go really basic, are just text-based adventures where you're either beating up and fighting people or mythical people, or some of them you're just going around and building things and doing stuff like that. But there's VIP Mud on Windows, which was around for many years, I think still exists.
Yeah, and if Michael and crew get enough money donated to the cause, they'll port this on over to Windows, which I thought was super cool as well. So there is definitely
It's always good to see accessible. I mean, MUDs are a fun thing to play with. By the way, I mean, some of these games, speaking of adventures, I guess there's a Colossal Caves for Echo now.
Really? Okay. That is kind of cool.
The original, one of the original text adventure games.
Liam is pulling out his copy of Grizzly Gulch, and he's going to put it up on his channel, which if you're not following Liam, he's been putting up audio games on his YouTube channel. He has a Patreon as well, so if you want to find out more about that, definitely follow Liam on Twitter or Elworks and get a little bit more over there on that. Also, Accessible Game Hub for iOS, we've talked about on the show before. They had an update a couple of weeks
ago. Audio Game Hub, yeah.
Thank you. Audio Game Hub.
Yeah, Audio Game Hub. Mm-hmm.
They had an update just a couple of weeks ago where they've added some more games to that and also changed
on both sides, I believe, right? I saw an update come through on my Android as well. So,
and they changed the way it looks a little bit and the way that you kind of go through the menus and the like. Visually, it also changed a little bit. So if you haven't played with that in a while, definitely do the update and see what you think. Dark Defender.
What is Dark Defender?
I saw this going around. This is from audiogames.net, and this is a game that also could be played on Mac and Windows. I just threw it in here because people were talking about it, as well as Black Box. That was another one that we were talking about. Just seems to be a lot of games happening all at once here, and that's before we even get to A Hero's Call, which I see for some people who donated to the Kickstarter.
Well, Dark Defender... is like Defender. So maybe you... What is Defender? Did you play that?
So Defender was a ship that you moved either left or right, up and down to raise or lower. You shot aliens in order to save people because they would go down to the ground, pick up earthlings or whatever, picking them up. And if they made it to the top of the screen, then they had assimilated them and they would make harder and harder ships if you did that. So you would shoot that ship and then the earthling would fall and you would zoom in and swoop him up and you could actually pick him up and carrying him. And if you had enough, it would advance you to the next wave.
So there we go. So Dark Defender is the
Midway Arcade
translation of that. So another one of those. I look at the arcade classics. I mean, they're fun to play, and it's, you know, a lot of them. You know, I'm still waiting for someone to do a good Frogger. That would be fun.
Yeah, that is. Ricky pulled out Shades of Doom a couple of weeks ago just to see how it ran, and
I like the modern. I mean, those are a little more advanced, but sometimes it's like I like the really simple. I mean, it's why I like Super Egg Hunt. I like simple games sometimes that you don't takes you 2 minutes to learn and then forever to master.
That's why they're afraid Destino Games is on the list of apps that won't be able to make it to 64-bit on my iPad, and so I'm kind
of afraid. Get your old iPod, buy an iPod Touch or something, the old one, doesn't just have it sitting around so you
sitting
can play
there on that
Destination Mars or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I haven't done that in a long time. That is really funny. If you've got ideas about games that you're playing, let us know. At some point, we're going to talk a little bit about E3 and what happened with the Xbox One X. I love the One X robots. They're my friends. And that's a Futurama reference, Jay. I'm sorry. So there are...
I've at least seen that one.
Okay, good.
A couple times. All right. I've seen it more times than I've seen that... Rick and Morty or whatever.
Rick and Morty's awesome. Yes.
Oh, Morty. Gotcha.
Rick and Morty. Yeah. So there are
that thing.
New video game consoles coming. Also, the Nintendo Switch, which is not very friendly to blind individuals at the moment. There's no TTS on it. But for low vision users, the latest update actually added inverted colors. So, woohoo! That's coming right along. Somebody also reported, was it Josh or was it my friend Chad, who reported that there was also the... no, it was Josh. It was Super Blindman. It was It was PlayStation Now, which is a streaming game. So you, it's like Netflix, where you can play games from a web browser or on your PlayStation called PlayStation Now, and they rotate in and out things, mostly PlayStation 3 titles. And that Headings and some other things were working with TTS, so it was working towards being able to move through the menus to be able to load a game. So there's definitely a lot of things that are happening all at once in the video game space. So coming up after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the MicroSpeak, and you're going to hear how that device is going to come along. And of course, remember, you can pick that up at convention.
And how did we fit Ricky in a little box?
I'm going to step away from that because I'm afraid she might hear that. And then Joe will end up in an even smaller box. So I like my life the way it is, and I do not wish to alter it. I'm going to therefore say there would, after that, will be a tip from Joe about something that won't involve boxes, hopefully. And then the sound off last word. And then I will count three and pray. All that and more here on Blind Bargains, episode 106.
We'll talk about the MicroSpeak and much more just in a short bit. But first, I do need to tell you that this episode is brought to you by HumanWare. Last year, HumanWare partnered with Google to launch the BrailleNote Touch, the world's first and only Google-certified Braille tablet. The BrailleNote Touch combines the simplicity and efficiency of the well-known Keysoft user experience with the power and openness of a mainstream tablet. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means you can use the familiar Keysoft apps to accomplish your daily tasks of document creation, email, or internet browsing while downloading any accessible app from the Google Play Store. Once downloaded, Keysoft ensures those apps are efficient to use with Braille. And if you don't want to type on the Touch's included physical keyboard, you can type completely silently on its built-in touch screen using the innovative Touch Braille typing system. Just lay 10 fingers on the screen and type as if there were keys beneath your fingers. It really is a pretty cool system. Touch Braille identifies and finds your fingers as you type. Stay tuned for the release of BrailleNote Touch version 4, expected to go live this summer, and we will have coverage of that during the convention season, and maybe we'll learn some more about what is in version 4 of the BrailleNote Touch. The BrailleNote Touch, the future is so close you can touch it. You can learn more about the BrailleNote Touch or any of HumanWare's products by visiting them on the web at www.humanware.com, that's HumanWare.com, or by calling 800-722-3393. You can also watch any of the BrailleNote Touch snapshot videos done by HumanWare on their YouTube channel. That is actually youtube.com/touchvideos, all one word, youtube.com/touchvideos. Again, that's the HumanWare BrailleNote Touch over at humanware.com. Welcome back to episode 106, Blind Bargains Cast. Hey, it's new product time over here at Blind Bargains AT Guys. This is one that we will be selling ourselves over at AT Guys at convention. Actually learned about this from our good friend Steve Nutt over in the UK, who introduced me to what I'm about to show you, a new digital voice recorder called the MicroSpeak. The MicroSpeak is a simple digital voice recorder designed to do good quality recordings at an affordable price and with a really, really simple interface. So if you're the complete audiophile nut who wants the most pristine recordings ever and you're big into those $400, $500 recordings, well, this might not be for you. Although the recordings on this for just over $50 are quite good, as we will attempt to show you as well as we can in a podcast and a recording about audio and recording. Well, let me just turn this thing on and you can hear what we're going to have here.
Ready. Battery medium.
Ah, recognize that voice? Yes, it is the one and only Ricky Enger, who is the voice of the MicroSpeak here in the U.S. Now, those of you who might have heard the U.K. version, there is a nice British-sounding lady on that one. So if you get it over from Steve's site over at comproom.co.uk, you're going to get the U.K. version. For here, for the U.S., the North America market, we thought we wanted a U.S.-sounding voice. So, of course, we found a great one in Ricky, and we had her do not only that, but, well, as soon as you get the unit, you get the manual.
4GB Talking MicroSpeak User Guide. Thank you for purchasing the MicroSpeak Talking Digital Voice Recorder from Talking Products Limited and AT Guys. Let's get you oriented so you can use your new recorder right away. Place the unit so the buttons are face up and closer to you. The speaker and microphone are hidden behind the grill on the top half of the unit. The record button is a long button located below the speaker. There is an LCD display below the record button. Below this are three navigation buttons. From left to right, these are Previous, Play, and Next. On the right side, you will find a headphone jack closest to you, followed by Volume Down and Volume Up buttons. The power on-off switch is located on the bottom edge to the left side. Slide the switch to the left to turn the unit on, and to the right to turn it off. A USB port, used for charging and transferring files, is located to the right of the power switch. Welcome message. When using the MicroSpeak for
and
the first time...
And, of course, it goes on, and there's the rest of the manual. The entire text of the manual is read on the unit, so you can access the manual both in that method right there, or by just plugging it into a computer and getting it that way. And you can, of course, also go to our website, atguys.com, where we put all of our manuals for all of our products up there, in this case, both MP3 and regular Microsoft Word format. Well, Ricky did a great job describing what this thing looks like, so let's actually try it. Well, you know, first of all, it's about four inches long by an inch thick, if that, about 2 inches wide, and it gets pretty loud. I'm going to unplug it from our line in here so you can actually hear it more naturally. Now, of course, again, it's always hard to do a demo of something with a speaker, so I'm just going to hit play again.
Switch to the
and let's turn this up.
And the MicroSpeak name will appear on the screen for 3 to 4 seconds. MicroSpeak will then go into play mode, and this manual will be ready to play. Press the play/pause button once to hear the guide. Adjust the volume to suit your needs. After the mic.
Now it's hard to talk about speakers. I get that. And doing a recording of a speaker on a podcast doesn't always work, but. What I've noticed about this speaker is it gets pretty loud. Anyone who has our SoundPod speaker, it's pretty close to that volume. So it's actually pretty loud for a voice recorder. It makes it pretty easy to hear back your recordings, even in a bit of a louder room. So that is definitely one of the things I like about it. Another thing that you have probably already noticed when I turn it on is voice prompts. So when I turned it on, you heard ready, and then it tells you the battery status, whether it's empty or low or medium or high. So that's always cool. When you plug it into a computer, it'll tell you charging, or it'll tell you charging complete when the charging has been completed. So it is a built-in rechargeable battery. Lasts for about at least 5 to 6 hours, if not more. That's of recording time or playback time. And you can charge it either from a computer with the included USB cable, or you can charge it from the wall, and we'll include in the US version the USB to AC adapter. So if you don't have one of them, we will give you one. If you have 10 of them, you can use one of the existing ones. That's just fine. So the actual recording, well, let's just try it. I'm going to press the elongated button for record. You wait about 2 seconds. It's pretty much initializing until it starts recording. So we're going to press it. And when we hear a beep, then we will know it has started to record. So I pressed it. And now we are recording. Hello, Blind Bargains podcast world. It's so great to be with you. So I pressed the record button again. You heard it beep 3 times to indicate that recording has stopped. And then it saves the recording. And then if I want to play that, I will just hit the play button.
And now we are recording. Hello, Blind Bargains podcast world. It's so great to be with you.
And as you can hear, it's a pretty clear recording. It actually is just recording in regular wave. So in other words, uncompressed audio, very high quality, 192K in mono for those of you who are geeks and go by those numbers. But anyway, it's uncompressed wave. And of course, you can copy that straight to a computer and play that on whatever you want to play it on, whether it's a media player or if you don't have a computer, that's fine. You can just play it right on here as I just did. It is uncompressed. It's 4 gigs. Of memory, that gets you at least 30, 40 hours of record time on the unit itself. And of course, you can either delete things or you can copy stuff off to the computer. So let me actually, I can delete something right from here. Let me show you how that works.
And now we are recording. Hello, Blind Bargains podcast.
And that's enough of that.
Playback, pause, delete file, yes or no?
So I held down the play button for 2 seconds. This is playback, pause, delete file, yes or no. 1 beep is yes, 2 beeps is no. Yes, no, yes, no. We want yes.
File deleted.
And then it's gone. So again, voice prompts and beeps to kind of guide you through the operation. Yes, it's a simple recorder. There's only a few buttons, as you heard with Ricky's description. But I think those audio prompts just make things a little bit easier and give you kind of that peace of mind that, yes, this is exactly what's going on here. Yeah, we mentioned WAV files, and yeah, it could also do MP3 files. So it can actually just be a pretty simple MP3 player. So I just hit play here.
Be talking.
And we'll pass Ricky. It's a Japanese group called Cassiopeia. It's really cool stuff. Song is called Domino Line. Anyway, but you can turn it up pretty loudly, as we did with the audio earlier in the recordings, and it gets loud and actually can give you a bit of a oomph if you want it. So it actually can be just an MP3 player if you want it to be that. So you have a digital recorder, MP3 player, all in one. It plays WAV and MP3. Those are the formats it covers. You can copy them on there. Whatever folder you copy them on the unit, it will play them. You could copy other files on there, of course. It will show up as a drive, but WAV and MP3 is what it will play. So you will plug it into your computer or a note taker, like a Braille Sense or a Braille Note or whatever. It'll show up as a flash drive, and then you can go from there and copy things off and delete them and do whatever you want. So like I said, this is available now. We are going to have this at the conventions in the U.S., so you can do the pre-order thing like we mentioned earlier. This is now on our website, the Microspeak Digital Voice Recorder, $54.95, and you can pre-order it, and we will have it for you either in Reno for ACB or in Orlando for NFB, and we will have those there for you to take with you. If you want to order it over in the UK, our good friend Steve Nutt has them over there at comproom.co.uk, and you can get the UK version. I believe it's £39.95 over in the British currency. So you can get that from him. And a big thanks to Steve for introducing us to this product so we could bring it here to the U.S. and North America. So again, over here, it's atguys.com. We do ship anywhere in this great world. Antarctica, I'm not so sure about that, but we can get to most places. And the shipping's very reasonable, just a few bucks for most things. But you save on that shipping again with that pre-order, or just by stopping by the booth. If you want to see it first before you buy it, certainly stop by the booth in Reno, Orlando. We'd be happy to show it to you and show you why it's an interesting little, cool, little, small, compact, and simple voice recorder. People have been asking us for a simple voice recorder. They don't want to spend hundreds of dollars on those nice Olympuses or the nice Zoom ones, which are great recorders, but perhaps more than what a lot of people need. So thought this is a great idea to bring in a simple voice recorder, and the company Talking Products Limited has done a great job. Brian's done a great job of working with us to make it accessible and add the beeps and the audio prompts and things like that, which we really do appreciate companies that are willing to work with us and make products that are accessible and affordable and that work well. So again, that's the Microspeak 4GB talking digital voice recorder available now from AT Guys.
Perhaps it's a new trend, or perhaps it's because I am traveling soon, but I seem to be doing a lot of voiceover kind of troubleshooting while on the road. And this is going to be very troubling because I happen to use Twitter and Uber and YouTube a lot when traveling. And those seem to be the apps I seem to be having the most trouble with lately. That's why I'm having to use this particular tip to verify that this is working correctly with a friend or with what little vision I have in order to make sure that VoiceOver's focus is going where I think it's supposed to be going. Let's take Twitter, for instance. If I bring up Twitter and then I head on over in the official Twitter app on a tweet to reply or retweet things, I seem to be misfiring. And what I mean by that is I'm landing on a button and another action is happening other than the action I think is going to happen. So let's take retweeting. If I go over to retweet and I click on that, I seem to be firing on reply. So what I mean by that is I'm on retweet, I tap retweet, and then the focus jumps to reply instead of retweet. To verify that this is working, I can actually turn on the cursor to see VoiceOver a little easier. And this is great for people who are not familiar with the way that virtual cursors work in screen readers, because sometimes little buttons aren't very pronounced when highlighted, especially with VoiceOver. So this trick will help others look at it, or if you have low vision, you can actually make sure that things are working correctly by seeing where VoiceOver's focus is by heading over to Settings, then General, then Accessibility, then VoiceOver, and then go all the way to the bottom and you will find Enable Large Cursor. It puts a big black border around things if you're on black text with a white background. If it's inverted, like the way I have Twitter with night mode, it puts a white border around text so you can see where focus is. Another thing that's actually happening in Uber and YouTube, there are buttons that are actually missing. And when I'm flicking around, I don't find them. But if you actually minimize the app, and by that, I mean you just hit the home button and you go back to your home screen, then app switcher back into an app. In the case of Uber, what will happen is I can actually get to the time estimated before the car arrives, which seems to be missing sometimes. It seems really simple that these tips can help you a great deal when in apps. I know it sounds really counterintuitive to minimize an app and then bring it back up to get focus, but it is a good way, and turning VoiceOver on and off doesn't always fix this problem. So try these two things to see if that will help you. And don't forget to report these bugs, because the only way they can really get fixed sometimes with VoiceOver is if we as users notify the people who make the apps.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Thanks so much for your feedback. And we got a couple in from the past couple weeks. I don't have a name on this.
I don't know. It's just listed as Tech Center.
Tech Center. So, Google. I'm going by Google.
I know Tech. He's a great guy.
Hey, Tech. this might be David Ward. That's the best thing I can come up with.
Or it's
somebody else who happens to run he seems like a guy who might run a tech center. Was talking about the Apple HomePod and saying it's not really going to be much of anything unless it has, well, skills or actions or whatever. And, Apple's going towards it being a good speaker first and then an assistant second.
They seem to be aiming their sights at Sonos first. And then anything else that comes along
Sonos has already mentioned this, the day that Sonos adds Alexa or Google Home.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Sonos last year said they're working on. This is not like something that they might.
That is a done deal. The 350, yes, but that's, you know, you start saying, okay, that's as much as an Apple Watch. At the same time,
or two Play Ones on the recent sale, the Sonos Play Ones, and those are good speakers.
But there have been developers who said that if they could do like what they do with stickers or what they do with apps, if they could do skills and it is in the App Store, not that the App Store needs to be any more crowded than it is, but that's getting revamped too, if you remember from WWDC. If you can make it easy to find and purchase and or install skills, then Apple might have cracked a nut that others have not. Now, finding things in the Apple App Store, I still say, is dicey at best. But remember when they bought Chomp? Chomp was supposed to help, like, work in the App Store.
And they're redesigning the App Store for 11, so maybe that'll fix that.
Maybe. But again, you know, who knows? That's still up in the air. It won't be out until Christmas. You can almost predict everybody will probably run out and get one from all the tech news media. I am very happy with my Google Home. I don't need any others.
If you're going to buy, if you're going to buy a speaker, you're going to buy,
you know,
if you really want to, but if you're holding out, why? I mean, if you want a speaker, you're going to get a Sonos.
Sure.
If you want an assistant, you're going to get an Echo or Google Home.
Google Home, or
they'll sell a million of these things because it's
Cortana
Apple,
speaker.
I don't think it's going to do great. I mean, unless there's things that they just haven't announced yet.
But there's another one of those things where Apple comes out and says, we are the number one in wearables. Okay, great. There are not too many people who want to be in the watch market. Everybody thought there might be a watch market. There isn't a watch market, so you can have it. You know, it's the same way as
we are number one in the category that we help to create.
Yes. But it is the same thing as as the AirPods. You know, the AirPods are really competing against what? Beats? Because they're the only ones who have the W1 chip. So it's another one of those things where
there's lower end ones for sure.
Right.
But I mean, that's in the higher end market.
Exactly. So for what they're shooting for, they do fine. And for Apple, that's all that matters. And it's like 25 million are subscribe to Apple Music. Well, that's probably enough to keep the servers on and make it worthwhile versus 140 million from Spotify. And Spotify just got a boatload of money from SiriusXM.
Okay, that's not paid Spotify, but still, that's Spotify well, definitely.
And there's going to be sponsored songs. Did you see that? There's going to be sponsored tracks.
Yeah, you know, whenever Apple adds a few, then Spotify adds a few more. So Spotify is not going.
So again, it's one of those, if you live the Apple ecosystem and you want everything in your house to be Apple, then you're looking at the HomePod. But if you're not, and you're already invested in Sonos or something else.
Most of my Apple fanboy friends, though, don't buy every Apple thing. I mean, then again, the ones I can tell are really fanboys and they'll buy it even if it's crap are the ones that owned AirPorts routers.
So good.
Juanavila asking about OCR apps that do handwriting. That's always been a thing that OCR has had trouble with. Now, if it's really nice handwriting, some of your flatbeds can do that. And I use Fine Reader here and it will pick it up. But yeah, if it's like cursive, I don't know of any. Do you know of any? I mean, that seems more like a Be My Eyes problem.
Question, Ricky asked this question not too long ago on Twitter, and people recommended the new Office Lens for people who are using iPhones.
But whose handwriting?
Well, that's
doctor's handwriting?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And the more that we are not using handwriting as much, the worse that people's handwriting
is. They aren't even teaching cursive to the kids.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Which is probably good. That's actually good for us.
There's a Japanese program. I forget what the name of it is. I'll have to ask Ricky again. But Ricky asked this question.
That does handwriting?
What was that one?
The one that couldn't even read regular writing a couple years ago?
Well, wasn't that the one that you had demonstrated at CSUN?
Yeah.
Yes. So, okay. Well, CSUN,
I wanted to see it read regular print first. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, as things get better.
Maybe Google Goggles or whatever Google's new one is going to be too, it might actually be very helpful. Yeah, that's probably the faster way to do something like that, to do something critical, if it's something very, very critical. But I agree, it's the matter of security.
Because, okay, the handwriting things that come up for me, sometimes it might be the UPS guy drops off a package or tries to drop off a package, needs me to sign, they write that number on the, you know, a post-it. Mm-hmm. That's a Be My Eyes problem. I could solve that easily.
Now, if I could have something sign things for me, like DocuSign and VeriSign, that, because I'll get my signature really pretty, and then I can never do it like twice in a row if I have to sign a bunch of documents.
Well, I have a signature JPEG, which anything that's electronic,
yes,
and I can put drop that in Office documents.
It works but when really Instacart comes over and wants me to sign, that's a little different, you know, because it's like, can you sign on the spot? Gosh, I'm like, sure, yeah. Am I there?
Yeah,
am
I can scribble close? For you.
Yeah. I might as well just change my name to the letter X or Y. Definitely.
What is a scholarship, Joe?
So occasionally I'll just grab email and Jay and I will decide whether we want to use it on the show or not while we're kind of sort of doing the subject.
A new scholarship opportunity to spare.
So this is an email I just threw in and I didn't even really read it. And Jay goes, did you mean to put this in? So this is a sample of a upcoming scholarship. Why don't you tell them where it came from as we go through this here?
Well, it's it's $6,000 scholarship being offered by, but it's not Linus related. It's being offered by Vaping Daily.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. We could use it on the podcast.
Sure. Hey, you know what? There's no reason why you couldn't apply to this, but I don't know. It seems a little spammy. They just wrote us about this thing.
It was a blanket spam. Hey, podcast here. There you go. We'll put a censored version of this in the show notes so that way you could see.
There's nothing to censor about it. I mean, they don't say anything besides.
Oh, let's see. Let me keep reading here.
No, but it just says we are working to get the word out as much as possible. Visit www.vapingdaily.com. Well, hey, we'll link to it. If somebody wins this scholarship because of us.
Yeah, but run it through Snoops first. Go ahead, Snopes that all the way down.
Or Snoops.
Snoops. Snopes and Snoops. Oh, crap. Did I just make a show title? Oh, no. That's one of those things.
It'd be better than last week's, which was really confusing.
I liked last week's, but that's just me personally. Well, since round baseball, we talked about surround sound. We talked about Amazon earlier in the show. One of the things that many people might have thought we'd have at the front of the news, which on shows where we have very little news, surprisingly enough. No, we actually decided to put it here at the back. You might have heard recently that Amazon has purchased Whole Foods. And that means very possibly that in a future near you, 42 plus markets will have the ability to start having food delivered to their home from Whole Foods, probably through Amazon Fresh. So that's something to look forward to. And of course, that's somewhat accessible if you use those kinds of services through Amazon. But with this came an old internet meme, and I don't know if you'd ever heard the song. Had you heard this song,
no,
Jay?
Nope.
Well, just for those of you at home, it's getting real in the Whole Foods parking lot.
Yo, man. Yo, I know you see me here, dude. I've been waiting here like 10 minutes, man. No. This is my parking space, man. Now, what you need to do is put your little hybrid in reverse and go out the way you came in. What? Yo, it's about to get real in the Whole Foods parking lot, man.
It's getting real in the Whole Foods parking lot. I got my steel and you know it gets sparked a lot. I'm on my grind, homie. It's on my mind, homie. These fools with clipboards are looking at me like they know me. It's getting real in the Whole Foods parking lot. You know the deal with the little shopping carts they got. Check out what I say. It happens every day. It's how we live on the west side of L.A.
That's a classic. Quality version of it's on iTunes. At least it was as of 2011.
That is a classic that used to get played on Twit and other podcasts. Dwight Silverman over at the Houston Chronicle retweeted this almost immediately when the news came out, and I thought it worth bringing back.
Have these guys anything else?
Probably
Fog
not.
And Smog Films.
Probably not. That was probably their 15.
That was their biggest one. And everything else.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to capture lightning in a bottle in internet.
I know culture. How that goes. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. So you have one good video that gets a million views, then you try to.
Then your battery runs out. You're done.
Yes. Well, hey, there's a way that perhaps that you could recharge your battery, though.
Oh,
especially maybe if you're at the bar.
I'm listening. Convention's coming.
Convention is coming. Those batteries tend to die at night. This is a story from the BBC about urine used to charge smartphone batteries.
Sure. Even watching Naked and Afraid, or that was that other guy that goes out into the woods and has to live on tree bark for like a month.
Scientists at Bristol Robotics Lab in the UK. Uh-huh. Hey, Bristol, that's the same guys that do the Knut.
Another division.
Bristol.
Yes.
They've worked out how to turn urine into electricity. A collection of cylinders is turned into electroactive microorganisms.
Uh-huh.
They feed off things they find in wastewater and urine.
Okay.
Electrons are created as a byproduct, which can be turned into electricity and charge them for phone power or some lights. We'll link to this BBC
making me think of Ren and Stimpy don't whiz on the electric fence. You're just totally... Ooh, that too could be a really good show title. So that's a classic reference too, by the way.
I have nothing more to say on that, so let's get out of here.
I don't want to think about what your charger would smell like. Ew. So, yeah, that could be really, really bad. It smells like asparagus.
Might only work with the Samsung Galaxies because they're waterproof.
That's true. Okay, so to keep this family friendly, I agree with you. Let's go ahead and stop right here. If you want to follow me over on Twitter and see stories that may or may not make it to these episodes. It was an attempt. It's a low bar. But once again, we're back at the bar.
Yeah.
But you can find me over at twitter.com/RangerStation, all one word. Going to be talking about Doctor Who's series finale coming up here. Series 10 is about to end, and it's going to happen while I'm at convention.
Oh, so, I mean,
you're fine for now, but see what you're in trouble for is the BBC just reached an agreement with China to distribute Doctor Who over there and give them options for the next 5 years.
So
that means there's
Joe is going to learn Chinese. 15. Just so he's going to learn Chinese, so we can understand the Chinese.
No, I don't think so. I didn't do it for Firefly, so I don't think I'm going to do it for Doctor Who.
When I'm not at the bar, even sometimes when I am, I will tweet over at Blind Bargains on Twitter. And of course, you can email us at feedback@blindbargains.com. Your news, your tips, your reviews, or your random unrelated scholarships. We'll take them all.
And, especially on slow news weeks.
Yeah, especially on slow news weeks. You can also leave comments on any of our show posts at blindbargains.com. We do appreciate that. And like I said earlier, we're going to have lots of new things over at the booth at AT Guys. So you can visit us at booth 43 in Reno or A19 Alpha 19 in Orlando. And say hi and check out all the new stuff, or you can pre-order by going to atguys.com and using coupon codes ACB17 or NFB 17, depending on where you happen to be going, or use them both if you're going to be going to both like us. And you can buy things at both places. Why not? But hope to see you lots of interesting stuff in the exhibit halls. They got over 100 booths at NFB.
Good that's night, almighty. That's not just the Braille things in the back.
And I was just going to say, at both conventions, lots more mainstream companies are having booths.
True.
Which is true. Print at CSUN. And then we're seeing it here too. So very cool to see. And we'll try to bring you some of them as much as we can from the convention coverage with Joe and Chansey. And maybe I'll do one if I can get away from everything else. I'm usually behind the table. So that's why I don't do many interviews here. But
you can interview Speed Dots like right next to you. And then
when there's a little bit of downtime. Yeah, right.
Yeah, perfect.
Hey, Doug. That may happen. Darts, though. I'm not.
Those moments in certain conventions where all the vendors start just wandering up and down to see how everybody's doing. Hey, how's the wife? How's the kids? Kind of moment. So it's entirely possible somebody could come to your booth and you could interview them at the booth. That's true.
Happens more at the conferences. The smaller ones, like for teachers and stuff, and they go into a session for an hour, and then we're just
state conventions, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sometimes some state conventions too. You get to know the your neighbors very well.
Absolutely. No power in the verse can stop us. Another Firefly reference. And also, no power in the verse can stop Humanware. We want to thank them for their time and ability to sponsor this particular program.
The brand not touched. The future is so close, you can touch it. Yeah. www.humanware.com. And you can touch these things at the conventions this summer. So come by and say hi to all the wonderful people at Humanware. Thank you so much for sponsoring us. And thanks, Patrick, for helping us actually sound decent, especially when I decided to record on this thing.
Yeah. And he's going to wish that we had news, because then we're like more with it and more on top of it. When we're loose like this on a show like this, Patrick curses our names. And this is when he makes the outtakes file. This is when the shows like that get created, because they are his revenge.
Breaking news.
Uh-huh.
An easy way to say thanks. In-app tipping is coming from Uber.
Uh-oh.
You can tip drivers after when it's convenient for you. Gee, I wonder where they got this idea from. Tips go directly. Uber takes zero service fees.
Sure they do. Yeah. Unless you're in New York.
Tipping
is coming. It's still better to take cash. That's awesome. That needed to happen. Lyft was really schooling them on that. That is
absolutely. And the other little thing on update on that, there was some things going on down in Florida for a while where Uber and Lyft were not going to be able to pick up at Orlando Airport, but it looks like that is being resolved in time for the convention.
Yay.
Down there. So we should be fine in both places as far as the Ubers and the Lyfts of the world.
And that is so much easier than taking the shuttles. I've done the shuttles and stuff, but man, to go out there and stand on the little
shuttle. Shuttle is not much cheaper than Uber or Lyft. And the other thing about that is when you go to the airport, like, oh yeah, your flight's at 8, well, we'll be there at 5. Like, no,
yep.
I don't want to leave that early. I want one more hour of the pool.
And you can always find out if there are Luddites nearby, because they are taking Super Shuttle and you get in the van with them and you can tell that they're not very technical, or they're used to, like, their company has a Super Shuttle account and so that's what they have to take. It's always interesting because I've had to take that in one or two places. And Austin has Uber and Lyft back. It'd be interesting to talk with Shelley to see how things are going now that those two have returned. Have all the little startups
been
eaten alive?
Shelley and Mike.
Eaten alive, they have been. Cool. You know, at some point, I thought we'd have to start talking about Ticketmaster and how I had to use the Live Nation app and how it was not friendly with voiceover at all, because I was at two concerts in the last week. So trying to find accessible ways to do that. So if you guys have ideas about how you attend concerts accessibly, I'm very interested. Feedback@blindbargains.com. Okay, enough stalling. I think we're heading for the outbound box here. So for so much more to come, please let us know and have a great week, everyone.
See you soon, folks. See you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.